But my message is basically to encourage people as Christians and as the church to not give up warning unbelievers to be saved. And that's what we're going to look at this time. Don't give up warning unbelievers to be saved. I think the church in New Zealand, we have called this nation to be saved, but we have hit the hardness of man's heart, and it's very easy to make us, you know, just give up warning, because if you give so many warnings and the person doesn't listen, you don't want to keep going. You just want to, you know, they're not listening, you stop and pull back. But I think what God wants to say to us in this nation, we've got to not stop warning people to be saved. And it comes from Ezekiel chapter 33, by a man who was called as a prophet, but he was called to warn the nation. And there are many aspects of his life which reveal the heart of God. What I'm really interested in finding out is, you know, the heart of God through people's lives, the revelation that God can bring through people's lives, so that we can actually see Jesus in people. We can see God at work in people. And that's what I see through all the Bible characters, and it's the same with all Christians today. And, you know, often it's hard to see it because we just see the outward appearance, we see the things that are not of God, and that can put us off. But what we've got to see is we've got to see Jesus in people, we've got to see Jesus speaking through people. But Ezekiel chapter 33, reading from verse 7, Son of man, this is God speaking to the prophet, Son of man, I have made you a watchman for the house of Israel. So hear the words I speak and give them warning from me. When I say to the wicked, O wicked man, you will surely die, and you do not speak out to dissuade him from his ways, that wicked man will die for his sin, and I will hold you accountable for his blood. But if you do warn the wicked man to turn from his ways, and he does not do so, he will die for his sin, but you will be saved yourself. Son of man, say to the house of Israel, this is what you are saying. Our offenses and sins weigh us down, and we are wasting away because of them. How then can we live? Say to them, as surely as I live, declares the sovereign Lord, I take no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but rather that they turn from their ways and live. Turn, turn from your evil ways. Why will you die, O house of Israel? Okay, there are many beautiful points I want to pull out of that passage of Scripture. And the first one is seeing Jesus Christ in the prophet. Because, you know, Jesus, one of the titles that he used most of himself was Son of Man. And first of all, in addressing this prophet Ezekiel, God addresses him as Son of Man. So I see Jesus right there. I see a revelation of Jesus Christ. I suppose it's a revelation of Jesus' humanity, that Jesus became one of us. He became a human being, and he came to walk with us. And again, a person who was just called to be a prophet, and God took this prophet through amazing experiences, ups and downs in his life. And we can see it time and time again in a person like King David. Just the normal things he went through in his life, his struggles, the opposition he was facing. But out of that came an identification with Jesus Christ and a prophecy about Jesus and prophetic revelation about Jesus' glory. So it's amazing. God, he could do it through David's life. He can do it through your life. He can do it through my life. As we are walking, as we go through different things in our lives, we can identify with the victory of Christ, the suffering of Christ, the different attributes of Jesus' nature. So first of all, in the prophet Ezekiel, I see him revealing Jesus Christ and God addressing him in that way. So I'd like to take these words from, you know, a few different points of view, and one of them being, even the calling that was upon Jesus Christ is similar and revealed through the calling that was put upon the prophet Ezekiel. Really, it comes from God, but really, I want us to touch God's heart if you know what I'm saying. I want us to get a deeper revelation of and see God in a deeper way through all of this. So it says, I have made you a watchman for the house of Israel. And I believe ultimately the ultimate watchman over the people of Israel and over the church is Jesus Christ himself. He is our watchman. He is watching over us. And then he says, so hear the word I speak. And that's where we begin our entering the place of ministry, is from hearing the word that God speaks. You know, Ezekiel's, you know, we are looking at today's situation, a lost nation, and the call of God upon the church to be the watchman with Jesus to seek and save the lost of this nation. So we want us, God, to speak to us, which he is doing all the time, but really we want to hear it. We have to hear it. Now, I think God, he never stops speaking, but, you know, it's the hardness of people's hearts that stops them hearing. So, yes, God's not going to stop speaking to this nation, but we've got to have the breakthrough for hearing his voice. And so I think that when it comes to evangelism and having a people that are going to walk with Jesus, who are going to be witnessing, going to be evangelizing, we've got to hear God speak to us again and again, saying, go and do it. Go and do it. You can do it. You can do it. And so we've got to hear Jesus' voice speaking to us to enter the ministry. And that's what Ezekiel had. Hear the word I speak and give them warning from me. Okay, when we see in the Bible, what I see is, you know, prophets that spoke harsh words. And it's the warning, you know, if you just look at them and got angry with them, which happened, let's say, with Jeremiah, the people heard Jeremiah rebuking them, they got angry with him. And it's because they were failing to see God. They just saw a man, and they were thinking, who is he? Who is he to give us that word? Who is he to rebuke us? What right does he have to speak to us like that? See, they didn't see God. They could only see the person. I think that's a mistake that we can often make, and especially if the people of the world are doing it all the time. They can't see God speaking through his people. But we have to make sure that we can see Jesus Christ speaking through his people. And it's God who wants to warn the lost. And it's God that wants to warn the wicked. It's God that wants to warn the people of New Zealand to be saved. And it's God's heart, his heart. And we've got to, you know, we've got to connect with God's heart so that we can truly warn the people in the right way. So we're trying to connect with Jesus. We're identifying with him as the Son of Man. We're coming into watching over the nation like Jesus, seeing through his eyes. We're having our ears opened to hear God's voice. And now we're wanting to speak God's warning into the people. And God says, when I say to the wicked, O wicked man, you will surely die. Now this is quite serious. We're getting into a serious situation. God has numbered the days of the wicked person. And we're at the final stage, you could say. God is speaking to people. You know, your time is very limited. You're going to die. And I know with the example which Jesus gave was of a rich man who had spent his whole life working hard, doing his hard work, doing his jobs, and he was prosperous, he was successful, and he got to a certain stage and he thought he could just build his bigger barns, he could sit back and relax, take the rest of his life easy and enjoy the labor of his work. But it was that very moment where God said to him, you fool, this very day you're going to die. And that is actually God speaking to people, you're going to die. But what we see here, the heart of God is, you could say, a final chance of repentance. A final, you know, God is actually telling them, you're going to die. He, you know, it's like a fear of death is coming into a person's heart, which is a good thing. You know, if you die suddenly, you don't have that chance. But here it is, God speaking to the person, you're going to die. I know that happened with Daniel, in the book of Daniel, when the man, the son, who had wasted all the things, and the hand appeared, basically saying, your time is up. Your time is up. And I wonder, You know, did that man actually make to heaven, go to heaven or to hell? Because he had that one day. He had a few hours. And only God knows his heart. You know, God said to him, you're going to die. You know, if he accepted that and repented, he could have gone to heaven. The same thing happened with Joseph. You know, the two men came and they both had dreams. And Joseph had to give the true interpretation. One was all nice and happy. You're going to be restored, your life, you're going to be set free out of this prison. You're going back to serve the king. But to the other man, the message was, you're going to die. And Joseph couldn't compromise. He had to speak the exact words. And I wonder, out of two of those men, which one actually had the better chance of going to heaven? Could be that the one who knew that he was about to die, actually, in his heart, he repented, and he could be the one who went to heaven. And the one that got set free to the king and had the joyful position, straight away he forgot God. He forgot Joseph. He ignored, and he just was back to living his old good life. So, you know, we don't know how God will judge people. So, in here, we see that God says to the wicked, a wicked man, you will surely die. But he says to his people, and you do not speak out to dissuade him from his wicked ways, that man will die for his sin, and I will hold you accountable for his blood. So we see when God speaks to a person, you're going to die, God actually wants to save them. So that's why I was thinking about those illustrations I gave you of that man in the prison. You know, it could be they're in heaven. You know, they died. They were killed by God. Their time was short. They only had a few hours left. But God actually spoke to them to dissuade them in their hearts, to change their hearts in the last dying moments, to change their hearts so they could be saved. You know, probably the most success I've had in New Zealand for evangelism is among people that have only had a short time to live. And you lead them to the Lord, and then they die. And you think, God, why? But I see this principle here in God's word, that it's when God's really convicting you to witness to someone, it could be that their time is really short. And God is saying, oh, wicked man, you're going to die. And I know that there's many times when people regret, oh, if only I'd witnessed to that person. And I have some people like that I know as well. Because, you know, there's many people we don't know. They could be dead tomorrow, and we don't know. And we'll think, oh, if only I'd witnessed to them. But, you know, we don't know. So we're not held accountable for every person who dies. No, but when God lays it on our heart, we should definitely pray about it. You know, God, how long do they have to live? I have to take this seriously. So God is specifically speaking to his people that are to be watchmen, that are to be witnesses, that are to share the word of God with those who are wicked, those who are on the wrong path, those who are not walking in the light. You could also include that with backsliders, because really God was dealing with the nation of Israel, his own people, a nation that were backslidden, and were about to be, you know, rejected by God. And God, you could say, being the watchman of Israel, which shows me God's heart, it shows me why God just couldn't give them up, couldn't give Israel up. Even when they were backslidden, even when they were into deep idols, no, he was going to, of course there were individuals who he had to give up, but on the whole, he was not going to give up on this nation. It's because he was the watchman over this nation. And that's why he worked doubly hard to purify Israel. And what that speaks to me about is how God works doubly hard to save backslidden Christians. That is, those who have fallen into the world. Those who are lost. God doesn't want to give them up. And God will actually speak like he did to Ezekiel to reach the backslidden nation of Israel. He'll speak in the same way to Christians and to the church about the backsliders. And I think when a first revival comes, often it breaks through in seeing backsliders come back to the Lord. You know, those who had the call of God in their youth and have, or maybe even a church background, and they heard the word of God, maybe they had a childlike faith in Jesus, but it went along that they lost it. You know, God's going to come to a point where he's going to speak to them that you're going to die. You're going to die. And God is going to speak through his people. And the pressure, you know, Ezekiel was really put under pressure. And I think we don't really do things unless we feel the pressure. And, you know, because it's easy. You know, it's too hard to go out and witness to people. But if you saw God come to you and say, look, that blood is going to be on your hands on the day of judgment. It might put the pressure on you, put the fear of God on you, and say, oh, it might shoot you out. Yes, I can do it. You know, I hear people like Ray Comfort use the example of, you know, if you were given $1,000 for every person you witnessed to, would you be a bit more earnest in your evangelism? Because that money would just excite you. But here I see it wasn't money, it wasn't any blessing, but a pressure was put upon the prophet. And I know there is a time when God does put that on the church. I know, let's say, for spiritual babies, God doesn't, you know, God is willing to wash their nappies. But when a Christian gets bigger and gets older and comes into maturity, but is not growing, is not producing the fruit, I think there does come a time when God actually puts a pressure on us. He speaks to us, look, you're no longer a baby. I'm actually going to hold you responsible for things now. So I think as we grow in the Lord, we do come into a deeper level of responsibility. So we can't put the pressure on it. You know, we can't put our calling or burden onto someone else. But there does come a time when God speaks to us individually. You know, I know that I've been called to be an evangelist, called to be a preacher. So I know the main pressure is on me. The main responsibility to get people saved or to preach the gospel or to do things, I know there's a responsibility that I have. And I accept that. So we've got to walk in the level we're called to. But as I said, you know, I think there's some time when God has to, you know, he does have to put that pressure on us. And maybe even now, maybe I'll just think about that, that pressure to push us into action, to send us out to preach the gospel. So let's receive what's from the Lord, the burden of the Lord, the pressure of the Lord, not man's pressure, but what is truly from God's. And I think Ezekiel, he had seen God's glory. He had had manifestations of God. God had taken him through a path to maturity. So Ezekiel, he wasn't a baby prophet. He was a person who God had really spoken to and had brought him to this place of where he could handle the responsibility. Let's say it like that. But anyway, God wants to lead us into that, the responsibility of warning the wicked. Paul knew that, so it's not just an Old Testament thing. When Paul was, I think it was in Ephesus when they were leaving, he said, you know, I with tears, house to house, he was seeking to persuade the people. And he basically said, I'm innocent of your blood. So it's not just an Old Testament pressure. It's also on mature saints of God in these days. But then it says, if you do warn the wicked man to turn from his ways, and he does not do so, he will die, but you will be saved. And what that speaks to me about is divine protection. Divine protection in an earthquake or something like that. Because God is using the natural to point to the spiritual. And God was using the natural that the enemies of Israel are going to attack them. And they're going to be killed. And then there's going to be war. And there's going to be a fight. But if you warn the people, you are going to be saved. So that is speaking about divine, natural protection, just as it is in saved going to heaven. But it's also being saved on this earth. It's being protected on this earth. So I think there is a divine protection. And I see that with a person like Jeremiah. When his nation was overrun by the soldiers, he was divinely protected by God. He actually had favor with the enemy soldiers because they knew that he had spoken the true word of God. So there's just interesting things that are going on. And then it says that the people, you know, what God wanted them to realize, and they felt it themselves, that our offenses and our sins weigh us down. And I think New Zealand has not come to that point. And God is actually still has to open the eyes of this nation. so that people actually realize the bondages that they're in. You know, a person can be a drunkard, they can be doing all kinds of crime, and they're in a point of just enjoying it, living it up, doing the sins, and they're not feeling the weight of what they're doing. But there comes a time when the Holy Spirit conviction is upon them, they actually start to feel the weight and the pressure of their sin. And it's weighing them down. And okay, that can go for extreme things of drugs and alcohol, but what about just the materialism and the humanism and all the sins that people think are not sins, but are really weighing them down? And I think God is doing things, maybe even with things like terrible circumstances like earthquakes, which is actually to open our eyes, and it's actually, again, a pressure that comes upon the nation, and the nation begins to feel the weight of its sin. And really, it hasn't happened in New Zealand yet, but I think for a true revival, that still has to happen. People actually begin to feel the weight of their sins. And they actually said in here that we are wasting away because of them. So they're actually, their eyes are actually seeing that their circumstances are causing the wasting in their life. I know for me, when doing witnessing and evangelism, you know, you meet people who've got so many problems in their lives, so many bondages, but they can't see that it's because of themselves. You know, they're still blaming someone else, and it's causing them to run away from God instead of run to them because their hearts are not right. They're not acknowledging that they are at fault. They're not feeling that they're wasting away because of their sins. And again, that is what this nation has to come to the point. We have to continue to pray that God will open the eyes of the spiritual blind. You know, we've got a nation of people that, you know, just enjoy nightclubbing and drinking on the weekends. And they can't see that they're wasting away because of their sins. But Ezekiel could see it. And the people at this time were beginning to feel it because of the heavy hand of God upon the nation. So I think we want the heavy hand of God upon New Zealand, if New Zealand's to be saved. We don't want New Zealand, God to reject New Zealand and just say, okay, just let them have the pleasures that we want. No, we want the heavy hand of God's discipline upon this nation so that this nation can be saved. Now then we really come into what's probably my main point, which is what Ezekiel is to say to these people who are starting to feel the conviction of their sin. And this is what the sovereign Lord declares: I take no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but rather that they turn from their ways and live. I know every true Christian knows that is the heart of God. Now it seems in many churches that they don't really want people to get up and preach about the wrath of God, the hellfire and the brimstone, the torment or the punishment that awaits the wicked. It's because we all know that God takes no pleasure in the death of the wicked. His heart is for them to be saved. But that loving heart of God cannot blind us to what God truly does in warning a nation. Because with Israel, every true prophet spoke a strong message of repentance, punishment, judgments, and God's anger upon the people. You know, Jesus himself, you know, he is angry with the wicked. He is angry with the devil. Yet on the other hand, you know, he's filled with love to try and save them. So it's just having that right balance of what is in God. You know, that full righteousness, that holiness, that justice. But we want people to see it. We want the eyes of the nation to be opened. And we see God, he's calling the people. It's God pleading with the people. He's saying, turn, turn from your evil ways. Why will you die, O house of Israel? And I think that's also the heart of God for New Zealand at this time. Now he's pleading with a hard-hearted people, a people that many of them don't want to listen, but he's pleading with them, turn, turn, turn. And I found for me, having done evangelism for many years, you know, if you just look to the people and see them not responding or see them ignoring, you can sort of get the attitude, okay, just leave them to it. I'll just go to Africa and Asia where it's easier. And there's a time for that, going to Africa and Asia, and we want to reap the harvest there. But I also see the heart of God for the stubborn and the unbelievers, that he wants to plead with them. He wants to call them. He wants to strive with them by the Holy Spirit. I know that in the days of Noah, that there came the time when God said, enough is enough. I cannot save this nation. And basically he said, you're going to die. And I wonder how many people, when that flood was coming, when that rain was coming, they actually got saved. You know, they weren't saved and allowed to enter the ark because that time for that was up. But God had said to them, to the whole earth, to the whole world, you're going to die. And that's what I get out of what God was speaking to the prophet Ezekiel. He was saying to them, basically, I'm going to kill the wicked person, but I want you to warn them in the hope that they will be saved before they die. So, and I've seen that, as I've said in my evangelism work. Most people that I've seen come to the Lord in New Zealand, they've died a short time afterwards. And I feel that that's the depths of God's love. There is a sorrow in that, because you'd love to see a person who just gets on fire for God, goes on for God all his life and does a great work for God. But, you know, there's going to be many that just scrape into the heaven by the skin of their teeth. And I think it's having that burden, that cry, that plea, turn to God. And the message that I wanted to bring tonight is that we should keep warning people to be saved. Don't give up. Don't give up warning people to be saved. Keep warning people to be saved. Keep warning. Let that go into your spirit. See from God's perspective. And don't let it discourage you when people don't. I'll just quickly give some examples of people that I led to the Lord just before they died. One was a young married guy. He was probably 19 when I met him, or maybe 18, and sort of the next 3 years, I'd always bump into him in the middle of town. And whenever I got to know him, he was a bit of a simple-minded person, and basically he would always go into town just to look for girls. And none of the girls had any interest in him. So every time I'd talk to him, I'd say, have a conversation with him, and at the end of the conversation, I'd say to him, well, have you prayed to God yet? And he'll always say no. But after about 2 years, just casually meeting him, friendship, just little words here and there, and then before we leave, oh, have you prayed to God yet? Finally he said, no, but I'd like to. So I took him to one youth meeting, which was a powerful evangelistic meeting. He went forward there, and then I made sure I went to his house to have some extra Bible studies with him. And then I went overseas for missions, little mission, came back, and he was dead. And I was thinking for about 2 or 3 years, every time I said, have you prayed yet? He said no. But just before he died, he said yes. I was thinking that was an amazing work of God. God knew how long he had to live. You know, sometimes when God says, hey, wicked man, you're going to die, you know, that might still mean 3 years away. It might not mean tomorrow. So, you know, God, I believe, had spoken the word that he was going to die. I mean, he died young. He died when he was 21. He got bowel cancer, I think it was. So he died when he was young. And I believe that God had spoken that word, you're going to die, even 3 years earlier. And God just held him. Until he said yes. When he said yes, he was gone. I remember one time I was out witnessing outside some nightclubs in my hometown. And I saw this rough-looking guy. He was, again, a married guy. His whole face was all, what do you call those? And he was, I had a nice chat with him. He listened very well to the gospel. And then for some reason, some 4 policemen came around the corner, and they, obviously he was the one they were looking for. They came and they all grabbed him, and he did not want to cooperate with the police at all. If he had just had a nice little conversation, it would have been no problem. These four policemen were wrestling him, and he was just going around like crazy. So I was just there praying, oh God, save this man. Okay, so he just spent the one night in the cells, because it was no really big issue at all that they were wanting him for. And so the next morning, I had gone into town again. Well, I forget now, it might have been the next week. And as I walked past him, he said to me, "Hey, brother, I love you, brother." I was thinking, that's a strange thing to say. But I knew what he was really saying. In his heart, he was saying, "I love God. I love God." And actually, this man, I didn't see, he didn't give his life fully to Jesus then. And I didn't see him until about 10 years later. 10 years later, where I saw him was in a church. That church was having it was a Sunday night meeting, and they had some special prayer. I actually heard him pray in that church. Just a short time later, I then heard that he had died. So it showed me again, you know, I'm thinking right now, maybe God is really saying to every unbeliever in the whole world, you're going to die. And God is wanting us to warn them and save them before they die. And I just see again and again and again. And that's what God's doing. So anyway, that was the message tonight. Just quickly focus on the main point. Is from what Ezekiel, God did through Ezekiel, was called him to be a watchman for the nation. And to listen to God's voice. To identify and to reveal Jesus Christ through his life, and to seek and save the lost.